Today's edition of the Derek Hunter Podcast is brought to you by Ancient Life Oil.
What is Full Spectrum CBD? Full Spectrum CBD is all the cannabinoids, which in turn gives you major effectiveness. CBD isolate is much less effective than Full Spectrum CBD. No herbicides, no pesticides, pure organic, non-GMO, Full Spectrum CBD. Where do you get the good stuff? At AncientLifeOil.com. That's AncientLifeOil.com. Buy CBD tinctures that work. That's AncientLifeOil.com.
Alrighty, hello again everyone and welcome to it. It is the Derek Hunter Podcast for the 22nd of January. Yeah, January. 2021. Jeez, Louise, jeez. Why hasn't Joe Biden been impeached yet? That's what I want to know. I'm Derek Hunter. I am your host. Welcome to the program. The place where we will treat the Biden administration the way the Democrats treated the Trump administration. Joe Biden needs to be impeached immediately for the good of the country. It's a violation. He's enriching himself and his family through his presidency. This is an outrage, and it must be stopped. These are their rules, right? I mean, come on. There's much more evidence that the Biden family has gotten rich off of Joe's work in government than the Trump family got anything out of Donald's turn in the driver's seat. So in the name of fairness and in the name of keeping the norms that the Democrats so dearly revere, Joe Biden needs to be impeached right now, if not sooner. All righty. It is the Friday interview edition of the program. As such, we are going to be joined by Kurt Schlichter in a bit. I bet he'll have a thing or two to say about what's going on in the Biden administration. It must be stopped. It really must be stopped. Reminder, we'll have a full recap of the feces show that is this week on the Curse Show on Saturday, tomorrow, at patreon.com/Derek Hunter Podcast, all one word. So go in there. It's $5 for a month, and that's it. And it's fun, especially when you need, when you want to do a primal scream, but you can't because there's just no place for you to do it. And instead of shoving your face into a pillow, do it this way. Get it out by proxy through me. It's fun. Trust me. All righty, then. Before we get to Kurt Schlichter, though, and send you off on your weekend, Lord knows we could be used being sent off on the weekends, I got to tell you about AncientLifeOil.com, simply the finest CBD oil available. It's 100% organic, pure CBD oil. You can get it with or without a trace amount of THC. That's the full or broad spectrum, depending on whichever makes you comfortable. If you've been holding off trying this because you didn't want to try something that had THC in it, the full spectrum has no THC in it whatsoever. It works just as well. It's really a matter of personal choice. Lots of flavors, various strengths, CBD oil at AncientLifeOil.com. And this month, the month of January, they are having a sale, 15% off of everything on the site. It's a lot more than CBD oil. Check it out. Save big money, and you save even more by entering promo code Derek, D-E-R-E-K, at checkout and clicking apply, because then you get free fast shipping on top of the 15% off. You really can't beat this deal. If you've been waiting to try it, now's the time. Wait no further. AncientLifeOil.com, all one word, promo code Derek at checkout. Click apply for the free fast shipping. Okay, let's just get into it, shall we? I think everybody's ready to start the weekend. We go now to Kurt Schlichter. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, as I just promised, here he is, the one and only Kurt Schlichter, senior columnist at townhall.com. And lawyer extraordinaire, if you ever want to sue anybody in California or any of the contiguous United States of America, or probably the new state of Washington, D.C. soon enough.
It's not going to be a state.
It's a state of confusion right now, and a state of disarray, and a state of sadness, and just a state like...
It's an armed camp.
Oh, yeah. Well, no, they're leaving town-ish. They're taking down some of the fences. They expect the fencing to be down in the next couple of days.
I was told fences don't work.
Well, no, walls don't work.
Fences
with fences armed guards work perfectly.
I got to say, a lot of the guards guys early on, they were not putting they didn't realize that all soldiers are not the same. So if you put some of the soldiers who look like they're from Colonel Vindman's 55th Carbohydrate Company, they're not going to look good. Eventually, they started putting Strat guys up. Like Christy Nome was in front of some guys from South Dakota, and they looked hard. You could tell the hard guys.
Well,
but they had a lot of puffy, you know, rear echelon types, and they weren't impressive. They finally figured out, let's put those in front. But you know, as a military guy, I look at the gaggle fuck that was. Can I say that?
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, I look at the gaggle fuck that was all these guys strewn all over the Capitol, and I'm like, okay, that's not military organization.
Yeah, tell me, that's why were they sleeping on the floor? Because you tweeted out about these guys each should get a cot and a pillow and a sleeping bag.
Every single one of them is issued a sleeping mat. Every one of them is issued some of the finest sleeping bags available. I mean, they're really good. Every supply room has plenty of cots. My guys, when we deployed to Northern San Diego County in 2007, I put, you know, 1,000 cots on a truck or a couple trucks, brought them with us. And when we slept outside, and I slept outside with my men on a cot for 2 weeks. And I slept with I put a sleeping mat on the cot and I got in my sleeping bag and there I was. And that's how you do it. And because it looked good. Well, first of all, I think it was bad leadership. Second of all, it looked good. They thought, okay, normal civilians see it and go, oh my gosh, look at those poor soldiers being put out. Veterans look at it and go, don't you fuckers have sergeants? And I'm looking at these guys, there's rifles all over the place while these guys are sleeping. I'm just waiting for one of those M4s to walk away. Oh, it was a clusterfuck. And
is that the job of a sergeant to step up and say, hey, we need cots. We need to tell the higher
ups. Hell yeah. The officer, I mean, an officer shouldn't even get involved in that shit. I didn't have to go, and remember to bring cots. No, fucking NCOs know that shit. That's why they're NCOs. And also, NCOs are the guy who goes, hey, don't lie around in a gaggle fuck. I want you in a fucking straight line. Not because it looks impressive. That is one reason, though, because a military image raises morale and presents a positive image that keeps people from wanting to fuck with you.
Also, if something goes down, you'll be stumbling all over each other.
Bingo.
If you're laying around like farm animals.
Exactly. Out in the woods, you don't have that shit going on. People were in a specific area in a specific order. Now, why is that? Well, it goes back to the Romans. Romans had the same camp layout every single night. They would literally build a fort, march all day, build a fort, and it always looked the same. So you knew where's Joe when you need him. Also, out in the woods, you know, you don't want people all over the place because people are driving vehicles around. And it occasionally happens. Some asshole gets out of the sleeping area, decides he's going to pull up his sleeping mat under a frickin' bush, and sure enough, a 5-ton truck runs him over because he ain't supposed to be there, and it's dark. And even though you have ground guides, the guy walking in front of the vehicle with a flashlight to make sure you don't run into people, that shit happens. So there's lots of good
reasons.
Seeing
the military that in those pictures that circulated, in those videos that circulated, made it really look like this was the aftermath of a kegger. Not the military.
Yeah. There'd been a frat party. It was. I mean, and look, all us vets were going, holy shit. If you're supposed to be sending, this was supposed to be an image. First of all, two things. We desperately need soldiers to protect us from guys dressed as Vikings, you know. And also, look at the power that we're displaying. You know, woe unto you should you cross us. And I'm looking at that, going, this did not look like combat ready units. Now, nobody looks super butch in winter gear, okay? Everybody looks a little hefty. You know, shit hangs off you. You don't look great. But you know, I can look at a soldier and go, okay, that guy knows his shit. That guy has not worn his shit in 2 or 3 years and just drew it from the arms from the, you know, frickin' supply room. And a lot of these guys did not look squared away. Now, towards the end, I think they figured out, let's get the squared away guys. And there were some hard looking dudes. Here's the other thing that pisses me off. All these people, yeah, typical weekend warriors. National Guard soldiers are some of our best soldiers. They're unbelievably experienced. They're super committed. A lot of them have combat patches. I got in the Guard. I had a patch on my right shoulder. I had done 6 months in Desert Storm. I knew my shit. And a lot of these guys know their shit. And there's a lot of great things about Guard guys. And they sacrifice a lot to work for all of us. And I find it super offensive that they're presented in such a way that, frankly, a lot of it was embarrassing. And that even goes for the rear echelon guys. Look, everybody's not a fucking frontline soldier. A lot of guys, you know, fucking sit in front of typewriters. And I don't expect them to look like, you know, Pete Buttigieg or any other great American warrior like Dick Blumenthal. But, you know, that's not the guy you put, you know, the guy who's a little tubby is not the guy you put out front. The hard, lean guy who can carry 180 pounds, 20 miles, and then relax with a cigarette. That's the dude you want out in front of people, because he, frankly, represents more the Guard than the slugs.
Well, it paid off, whatever. The show of force that they needed to fend off...
Yeah, the Viking.
...pissed off septuagenarians and people with mental disorders who play dress-up in real life.
World's worst insurrection.
Yeah, I know. That's an insurrection. I'll take that every day over, you know, the elected lunatics that are subverting government from within, subverting our constitution.
Exactly. And let's just be clear. These guys were not, you know, Robert E. Lee's Grand Army of Virginia. Okay. I mean, you know, this whole insurrection wet yourself thing, it's actually pretty embarrassing.
Well, this is how the left is, though, Kurt. They, after George Floyd's death and that first 9-minute video came out, almost 10 minutes, 9 minutes, 48 seconds, whatever the hell it was, I think everybody in the world was like, what in the hell was that cop doing? And we need to change it so that doesn't happen again. You get somebody in cuffs, you get off of them, you get them in the car, period. You wanted to make that and some other changes to policing, there would have been 97% unanimity on that. But Democrats...
Yeah.
For some reason, can't take unanimity. They won't accept victory because it doesn't serve them politically. They can't run on an issue if you fix it. So it became defund the police, disband the police, open the prisons, get everybody out there, social workers for all. And people went like, what in the hell are you talking about? And backed away. And that brought about riots, and the Democrats benefited from it. So their political strategy paid off. It's just, you know, now congratulations. The policy changes and the goodwill that everybody had felt has dried up.
I agree completely. You are absolutely correct. They don't want unity. They want victory. But then again, I want victory and not unity. I have no desire to submit to anybody.
They want conformity.
Well, that's victory. Well, no, it's not conformity, it's submission.
Well, yeah.
Yeah. And I'm not interested in that.
That's what conformity is in a lot of ways, at least especially to people who
they're all in the same pile of garbage. And you know, just the nice thing is they're not particularly wise. They don't understand the people they hate. So they're like, Kurt's comparing them to Hitler. Well, I'm comparing to Hitler's tactics. Hitler thought, well, these British, I'll just bomb them into submission and I'll send over the Blitz and then I'll break their spirit. Well, the Blitz made the British even harder. And all this stuff, we've kind of seen to do your worst thing with them. They're like, yeah, we're going to ban you on Twitter. Okay, well, it kind of did. Oh, we're going to take away your Fox. Well, Fox kind of did that on its own. And then we're like, well, we're living without Fox. We were worried about that. And now it's happened. It doesn't matter that much.
But we'll get to Fox in a second. But they really have set out an all-out assault to silence all voices.
And it's just not working yet.
It's not working yet, but if anybody, they're not, one thing you got to give the left over the right is the right will lose a battle and go, oh, well, moving on. Democrats will spend 60 years trying to institute socialized medicine, and they will take, they want complete victory, total submission, but they will take a 10% move in their direction and go, all right, well, now we're going to pull for more.
Well, we're learning to take moves back, and I think you will see state legislatures looking at hard at anti-censorship, anti-discrimination, anti-cancellation legislation. You won't see it at the you won't see it at the federal level, but I bet you will see some evidence of it in the Supreme Court when the right cases come up. They're going to try and they're going to overstep. You know that President Asterisk. I gotta mention this bullshit about this being a fair and good election. It's bullshit. There was fraud. There were outrageous rules imposed extra constitutionally in many cases. Yes. But even if it's legally imposed, where you put something in that disadvantages one side and makes it easier to cheat, you know that's not okay. Plus. All the norms of the press, for instance, were completely abandoned. So the idea that this was somehow just a normal election and a mean orange man lied. No, I have no deference to this election. I think it was bullshit. I don't think it was fair in any sense. And I'm going to continue to say so. And they're trying to make it so you can't. But we just need to defy that shit.
Well, if you had a YouTube channel, you would be taken down. You would. That is the there's a lot of people, and you're a lawyer. There are a lot of people who say, well, it's free enterprise. It's a private company. It's not the government. And yes, I understand the argument that the Constitution, the First Amendment, limits the power of government. You can't go in and say whatever you want to your boss if you're listening. Can't go in and say, "Hey, fatty." But this is different because these platforms, these websites, are given extra protection under the guise that they are simply a kiosk where anybody can come up and stick a thumb in through that we're looking for a new bass player. And well, they're not going to discriminate against it, and yet they do. They're violating, exemption.
They're certainly violating the spirit of 230. And I think 230 is a fine idea. I think it's a good idea applied to people who are the kiosk. If how would you change 230? Well, I wouldn't repeal it. What I'd say is, any entity that operates to allow all speech authorized by the First Amendment may accept this or may have this particular protection. And if you don't do that, you don't get that protection, and it can be enforced by lawsuits. I'm a big fan of the idea of a social media bill of rights for consumers, modeled on consumer law, which I practice in civilian life. And it is, I think there's a lot of ways that we can protect our online identities because that's become a manifest property interest, even if it isn't recognized.
That doesn't seem like something that's going to get through Congress now.
I mean, yeah, Democrats, it won't.
Even though Elizabeth Warren pays lip service to wanting to hold these companies into check for various reasons and maybe for means of support or for reasons of support, she would be open to some tweaking of 230 to get Republican votes. The House will never go with it because they all benefited from it and they're much more partisan and gerrymandered than the Senate isn't. So as a lawyer, is there a way to get the courts to see that they are, that Facebook and Twitter are not acting in the spirit of 230 and therefore not protected by it?
That argument's been made. It hasn't been successful yet, but it hasn't gone to the Supreme Court. I think it's a worthy venue. I think a more profitable venue is the at the federal level, trying to unite with the hard left who hates the media, who hates these guys too. The other thing is state legislatures, and there's a lot of things you can do at the state level that may not be preempted by the federal government. And frankly, it's our Supreme Court that's going to pass at the end on what's preempted and what isn't. That is, you know, hey, you know, South Dakota, I'm putting in, you know, you have a right to all sorts of procedures if you are deplatformed by a social media. If you are a citizen of South Dakota, you have a right to a hearing. You have a right to this. You have a right to that. And, you know, the Supreme Court could say, well, that doesn't, 230 doesn't prevent that. The state from doing that doesn't conflict with 230. There, you know, the company's not being held liable. Just has to, you know, prove that it's doing something according to its terms of service. That's totally different. And I could see the Supreme Court doing that. So I think the, look, we have like 26, 27 legislatures. That's where we need to do the fighting. Obviously, these guys go in there and throw around a lot of money. But, you know, we need a woke legislature or two or three or 10 to stand up and go, no, I'm not going to let you screw our citizens around.
Where does that go? You can't have a state can't have their own internet. Can a state have their own rules for the internet?
Well, that's the preemption argument. Now, we've seen that states, for instance, can imply a sales tax to Amazon. Amazon's got to collect that North Dakota sales tax. And it collects a different one for Nevada and a different one for Arizona. That's a burden on the company. But it all depends on whether the courts decide that the Congress has decided to occupy the field of interstate commerce. It is interstate commerce. Has the Congress decided we're going to make all the rules, or is it left space for the states? And the states, I believe there's a good argument that there's room for the states to protect their own citizens from abuse by these companies.
It'll be fun to watch. Another thing you mentioned earlier that I wanted to get into is Fox News. And it's not so much the decline of Fox News, although there has been a decline of Fox News ratings, as much as it is the ascension of competitors.
Yeah.
And Newsmax and One America News in particular, and there will be others. But Fox News did some housekeeping. They've invited Chris Steigerwalt to leave. They invited Bill Salmon to leave. Now, I knew Bill Salmon years ago when he was back at the Washington Times, probably 15 years ago now, or if not more. Seemed like a perfectly nice guy. Chris Steigerwalt, I didn't know. But Steigerwalt, there's some pearl clutching. It's kind of funny watching the leftist media going, oh my goodness, can you believe Fox is doing this? And they're so right wing, they're firing people, blah, blah, blah. Steigerwalt's problem wasn't, and people say, well, they called Arizona way too early. They were right about Arizona ultimately, the end result, but they did call it way too early. They hadn't called Florida, which was further in the Trump camp. They didn't call Texas yet, which was way in the Trump camp. But they called Arizona really early. That they probably could have survived, but it was the way that Steigerwalt and whoever his coworker, boss, whatever it was in the decision room.
Yeah, I remember.
Went on
him.
Television and said, shut up, you guys who are complaining and whining, you don't know what you're talking about. And other networks didn't call Arizona for days, not even, you know, a few hours later. It was days and days because it was that close. That, I think, was the death knell.
That was the proverbial straw that broke the camel's back. But the problem with Fox had gone on for a long time. You and I and a lot of other people who were fairly hardcore conservative used to do a lot of Fox. We were all cut out. We were just, nope, not having guys like you. And I think I've done since March. Remember, I was doing two or three Fox hits a week. Since March, I've done two. There's been a definite move to cut out hardcore conservatives from the non-Tucker show. I think Tucker is such a powerhouse. I don't think anybody tells Tucker anything. I think
he can have anybody he wants on, and I think, sadly, the other shows have the same 12 people on all the time.
Yeah, I mean, Hannity's got a lot of the same guys, and Ingram has, you know, the three opinion shows. Now, of course, what the real objection was is the perception that Fox no longer had our back, that it was attempting to curry favor with the establishment at our expense with a lot of very liberal hosts. They talked about fair and balance, but that's not exactly what we wanted. We didn't have a problem with fair, but you know, we had a problem with with balance in the macro, because Fox was the mere existence of Fox
were
was supposed to be the balance. Yeah, we went there to see people talk from at least a center right perspective. So that, by which we means not dissing unnecessarily conservatives, covering stories the other people wouldn't, and not treating us with disrespect. And there were hosts who were doing all of that. And it's like, that's not what I'm coming here for. If I want to be disrespected or not see, you know, the Hunter Biden story, I can go to CNN. I go in an airport and watch CNN. What I want from Fox is somebody talking to me about the things I'm interested in with respect. It's not, we don't want propaganda. What we want is our perspective and the things we're interested in. And instead, for some reason, they decide, no, we've got to have, you know, we've got to have some sort of objective, and it wasn't objective, it just became left perspective. And the thing is, objectivity does not exist in the media anymore. So in a world where the rule is not objectivity, if you try and be objective, you're not going to be meeting the needs of the people who have noticed that the rules changed.
I also, part of my problem with Fox is the same guests every night. I don't watch those shows anymore just because they're not directly related to the news. So they bring nothing but their own opinion. Well, I've got my own opinion. I don't.
Yeah. I think that's kind of a different argument, but it's a lot of the same people all the time who are paid contributors, and they don't have the outside people. You said, you know, you used to go on, I used to go on. I go to the Fox.
But they don't have newsmakers as much anymore.
If
there's something going on, there used to be, I used to work at the Heritage Foundation. There are people who know policies inside and out, and that's their job. They don't, you know, when there's an important issue, they don't go to the people who know the policies best to just simply explain them, not to pick their, you know, to try and get their opinions, but to even to just explain it. They just bring in, here's two people, one liberal, one conservative. They're going to argue it out. And you go, wait a second. I know both these people. Neither one of them have a background in what the issue is. What in the hell are we going to get out of this? And you listen and you go, you get nothing. You get nothing out of it. But also, Fox, if you look back 20 years on Fox, they had journalists on staff. They don't really have journalists on staff anymore. They don't do journalism. They have some reporters, some good reporters, but they don't have very many reporters.
And they don't do investigations.
No.
Where's the breaking inside info? There's no, first of all, nobody has that now. It is all leaks. I mean, today the thing is, you know, who is it? CNN has a giant scoop that Trump had no COVID plan. It's like, scoop, Trump had no COVID plan. And it's like, that's not an investigation. That's a guy from the Asterisk administration calling up and going, hey man, here's the theme today. No plan.
But it's also met with no critical thinking. Cause what? Then the millions of people who've gotten the vaccine just stumbled across it in a back alley somewhere.
Exactly. I mean, even CNN, well, if there's no plan, how did all this happen? That doesn't make a lot of sense, man. But no. Lack of accountability is one of the primary symptoms of our institutional failure. There is no accountability for failing in any institution. I mean, for God's sake, people are still listening to Stanley freaking McChrystal, right? And that's a guy who got fired for insubordination appropriately, but he also failed to win two wars. You know, there was a suicide bomber in Iraq today. We invaded in March of 2003, and it's still at war. And these are the same, you know, our military leadership are the same guys who failed to freaking win that war. And yet we're supposed to defer to these guys. Oh, and their big thing now is, you know, this Austin guy, this general. Oh, well, I'm going to get those extremists out of the ranks. Where are they? So you're going to be doing transgender issues, because that was the other thing. Now, you know, transsexuals who need all sorts of medical support can be in the army now. Oh, good. Because that adds to combat readiness. And we're going to get out those extremists and other people who disagree with the politics of the establishment. Oh, okay. That sounds good. Here's an idea. How about winning a fucking war? Okay, because you're 0-2 in the last 20 years.
Canada will be able to take us soon.
Well, I think it's, I mean, look, here's what's going to happen. These idiots are going to get us into a war, and we're going to get a very bloody nose. And a lot of young men and women are going to get killed because these are incompetent. The Chinese are fucking serious. We are no longer a serious military. If you aren't concerned at all about transsexual issues in a military, other than to say, I'm sorry, I can't have somebody who needs that kind of medical and emotional support as part of the military because you are just, your value is, the value added is less than the cost. You are not a serious military.
But diversity, man, don't you want to, when you were in Desert Storm, didn't you want to, did you feel uncomfortable with the people to your right and to your left looked
no,
exactly?
No, I felt very comfortable, and it was the most diverse environment I ever lived in for an extended period of time. It looked nothing like my suburban home. Here's the punchline. It didn't matter. We didn't sit around talking about, oh, well, you grew up in, you know, essentially a ghetto. And I grew up in, you know, a San Francisco suburb, and there's another guy who grew up in a barrio. I see these guys' faces. It's truly, you know, when these people babble about, I want a cabinet that looks like America. Well, go to the military. That looks like America because it is America. And you meet people that you would never meet before, and you come together over, you know, the differences that don't define you. What you share, the same camouflage uniform, same patch American flag on your shoulder, that's what defines you. And it's, you know, and it, no, I didn't care whether Specialist Ramos, where his grandfather came from. I cared that Specialist Ramos was one of the best decontamination specialists in the Army and knew how to get sarin off of a guy who'd been splashed. That was important. I ran a heavily armed car wash, essentially. But that stuff's important, right? That was what was important, not anything else.
So what did you make of Biden's speech? Chris Wallace back to Fox was drooling all over himself. The spectacle.
He just can't help it, can he?
No, he can't. Well, I think he's
bucking. Where's his reputation for him come from, by the way? I keep hearing how he's this great journalist. When did that start?
The last name. You know, like Bill Gates' dad, if you're picking a computer nerd team and there's Bill Gates Jr. in your class, you get first draft pick, you're probably going to go with Bill Gates Jr. You're like, well, he's got to have something. Well, Chris Wallace's father was a good journalist.
So, yeah, when's Chris Wallace start the great journalism? I mean, that's a legit question. Where is the time he took, other than
where's setting the big rhetorical traps
for concern? Yeah, where's the big story? Where's the big revelation he got out of a liberal that made you go, huh? Now, there's lots of times he essentially manufactures a gotcha on conservatives, but when's the time he really illuminated a liberal and, you know, put the guy there having to justify a policy that, you know, maybe isn't great? And you can't think of any. So where's the great journalist? You're not a great journalist because of the position you have. You should be in the position because you are a great journalist.
Well,
but that's not how it works.
Well, the way it works now is you do it long enough. It doesn't matter how well you do it. I mean, for God's sakes, Dan Rather just had an award named after him at the University of Texas. The Dan Rather Excellence in Journalism Award.
That's like a joke.
Seriously?
No accountability. That's the problem. That is such a huge symptom of the problem with our institutions, Derek. These institutions are simply concerned with perpetuating themselves, their power, prestige. But they're all falling apart because of technology and simply because they're all old. You know, most of our institutions are from about the time World War II. And they are run by cultural trust fund babies, people who didn't build them. people who simply got credentials at colleges, and now you're running the NFL, and you're running it into the ground. But if they held each other accountable, suddenly they'd be held accountable, so they can't. Because that but accountability disrupts the
all
status
of corporate
quo.
World, where you've got Deutsche Bank saying, we're not going to lend money to the Trump organization anymore. You've got social media companies that have shareholders going, we're not going to allow this, that, and the other thing.
Yes.
And where are the Republican billionaires who will step up and say, I'm going to use my money to the way George Soros uses his money? Prosecutors elected, I'm going to make sure that at the local level that I stir things up and impose my will that way. They instead want, you know, wings of the Heritage Foundation named after them.
Yes.
Rather than
you know, Republican donors are notoriously useless. Frankly, a lot of these guys in corporate America adopt the politics of their 30-year-old second wives. And the thing is, I think this is good, though, because, you know, and you can see with what's happened with the Chamber of Commerce, which is now full-scale woke and, you know, the enemy of the people.
Well, we called them the Chamber of Compromise when I worked in the Senate.
Oh, and it's gotten a million times. It's gotten a million times worse. They're now actively left. But the big corporations are no longer our friends. They are the friends of the Democrats because they are Democrats. All of them. There are and to understand what's going on, you need to people need to redefine what it means to be Republican. There are so many old Bush kind of Republicans, and we've got to talk about Bush in a minute, that piece of shit. Who want to be back in the day where it was like, you know, we're the General Motors party. No, we're not. We may be the local auto dealer company. We are the party of small companies. We're the party of agile country companies and working people. This shit about the Republicans are the party of the rich, that's a factual falsehood.
Yeah.
And it's a shift, too, and we need to recognize it is a shift. That's not how it always was. But we need to accept and understand that. And understand who we are as a party. The old party, you know, it's these freaking simps, these rhinos. And my town hall of Thursday the 21st goes into the rhino. I talk particularly about girl jab, Nikki Haley, exclamation point after Nikki. Just useless. They all they want to do is get invited to the party, even though they have to sit at the kiddie table and eat the nuggets while everyone else.
Well, they'd rather get along and be liked than be right.
And you got somebody like Nikki Haley who will offer gooey platitudes. What did she say? She has a pack now. It's like American Liberty Pack or some shit. And it's like, at this critical juncture, we need to preserve the momentum at this time in America's story. Who the hell talks like that? That's Bushian kind of goo.
Focus
group. No, there's no focus. I can't believe a focus group
of the donor class. Let me put it that way.
Yeah, I mean, that's the kind of...
I don't want my taxes to be raised, but I don't really have that much income. I have a lot of wealth. So if we lose, it's okay. My life isn't really going to change, and we should help people and so on and so forth.
It's goo, and... You know, it's finger to the wind shit. When I saw Bush yesterday out there with Asterisk, I was just, you know, and then we heard some of the quotes. Hey, you know, thank you for bringing back, you know, thank you, Joe, for bringing back decency and saving the country. And it's like, you piece of shit. Why don't you go home, paint some more fucking portraits of guys you got maimed through your own incompetence? The last thing I need to hear is from this disloyal crew. This piece of shit, Derek, you remember spending 8 years defending him when he wouldn't fucking man up? They're calling him Chimply McHaliburton Hitler, right?
Yeah.
We're defending him. He won't defend himself because he's a gentleman. And then the minute we need him, the minute we're under attack, he's off fucking tongue-kissing Michelle Obama. Where was he in 2020? Where was he? Was he out there doing for Republicans? I didn't see him. No.
No. He no. wasn't out there for Trump. You didn't expect that, but he wasn't out there for other Republicans either.
No. No loyalty. None at all. Don't tell me about his fucking character. Don't tell me about his character. And if you want to criticize about loyalty, well, what about Trump's loyalty? Trump has a loyalty problem. The way he treated Pence was a huge failure and one of the worst things that he did. I don't appreciate it. And I think that made him look really bad. And I was very disappointed.
Yeah.
But that is a personal quirk. What Bush did was a cultural quirk among the establishment elite, where when it comes down to a time of choosing, we don't get chosen. Their pals get chosen.
Well, George Bush spent 8 years being attacked. Yes. As president, and then spent 8 years being blamed by Obama.
Yes.
And remained silent through all of it.
Yes. And as soon as his fat brother got his ass kicked by this bad orange man from New York, suddenly he discovered his fucking voice.
Well, you can always expect the ruling class to act in their own interest. I used to
think he was a decent guy. I got no fucking use for him.
Last thing for you today, Kurt Schlichter, the Biden administration going forward and the media covering it, the sycophants, the people, the people hoping to be the next Tara Reid, except they'll willingly accept the digit dropped on them in the abandoned hallway. What can we expect from these people, and how would you recommend people combat it?
Well, all I can say is the media byword, the media catchphrase for the month is "Me love you long time." At least make sure Biden buys you dinner first, guys.
They're going to pick up the check. They want it.
Look, the New York Times literally tweeted out when Biden was inaugurated, the sun came out.
Yes.
It's like, are you fucking kidding me? Really? It's amazing that they always stun us with their modeling.
Well, the New York Times has become a bad Harlequin romance novel for Joe Biden. It's like they're trying to seduce him the way he seduced Jill while she was still married to her first husband. But
that's Dr. Jill, by the way.
What do you think of your new senator out there in California?
Oh, I don't care.
Well, real estate, one positive, California's real estate's going to get a lot cheaper as people get the hell out of there and run for the hills. Of course, your dinner parties will become sparsely populated, though. But are you guys still under lockdown?
Are we still under lockdown? We are... I'm not doing it because I had COVID.
Yeah.
So I don't think we're under lockdown. I don't know. People are just ignoring this shit now. But there's a lot of people sick, supposedly.
Well, that's the thing, is you get enough people, they can't arrest. It's like those corporate seminars for today. We're all going to sit through a video and discussion about sexual harassment and white supremacy. And like, everybody goes and sits through it and blows their minds out and thinks about other things. But if everybody refused to go and said, we're not going to do this bullshit, all right, we're not racist and we're not raping people in the copy room. If everybody did it, there's really nothing the company's not going to fire everybody. They can't fire everybody.
Yeah.
So if in California, it seems as though so many people are just going, you have your little declarations, Gavin, we're going about our business. Is he going to get recalled?
Yeah, I think he will. And I think it'll be funny.
Such a problem. Will he lose? Will he actually lose?
I think there's a decent chance.
We shall see. But
they might just reelect a Democrat, so.
No, I know. Well, it was a free-for-all. Too bad Gary Coleman's corpse will run this time again.
I'd vote for it. What you talking about, California?
Kurt Schlichter, you can read him on Town Hall every 3 days. What days?
Monday, Wednesday, and Thursday.
Monday, Wednesday, and Thursday. And you can read me there Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, and Thursday. You got to up your game, Kirk. You got to get one more belched out of you per week.
Well, they got to give me more money.
Have no life whatsoever. Just sit around.
I've got a special one coming on Friday, the 22nd.
There you go. That's today when you hear this podcast.
Oh,
Kurt
nice.
Schlichter. Yeah, thanks for taking the time. Thanks to you guys for listening. Don't forget the Curse Show tomorrow, patreon.com/Derek Hunter Podcast. We'll see you when we'll have a convention where we're all banned from social media.
Sweet.
Thanks for listening. See you later.